In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. On a feast like this, I often have sort of a somewhat melancholy thought. It is, okay, so there is the feast, and what is the difference? How is my life going to be different because of celebrating this feast? Or my parishioners? Or is it just another day with a little bit more celebration, with having wine and having fish? Is it going to make any change? Or is it just part of life? And why do I do this? Why do I prepare for the feasts? I think those kinds of thoughts sometimes. And I was reading the gospel. I've read this particular gospel 14 times now, 14 days in a row. The gospel from St. Luke about Mary going into the hill country, greeting Elizabeth. I've read this gospel 14 times because I've sung the Paraclesis every single day of the fast. And that gospel is in it. And we read that gospel last night for Matins. It's a typical gospel for the Mother of God. And in this gospel, now 14 days in a row, I have read that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. These words have started to sort of bore into me, burn into my soul. I've read them hundreds of times. They're very beautiful words. They're not mundane. They're not just life as usual. They are about holiness, perfection. They are about purpose. This is why I prepare for the feasts. Now, some feasts, perhaps I'm in a better state of mind than others. Perhaps I've been more careful than other times. Other times, perhaps, there's been a lot of noise that week. Sometimes I, as a pastor, am more affected than I want to be regarding my flock, how much they value the feasts, how much they value the services, what their priorities are. But my prayer for you and for me, that I've been praying actually quite a bit this morning, is, Lord, fill them all with thy Holy Spirit. It's really the purpose of our life, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not be mundane, not be the usual. Now, after this festal celebration, I have a lot of work to do in the secular world. I have to make sure a fence gets built or my insurance gets canceled. So I have to work today and dig holes in the ground and set posts. So that's just part of my regular life. And that's okay. And you have things to do too. Some of you have to go to work after this. We all have our concerns in life. But the whole point of life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this occurrence that is chronicled in the Gospel of Luke, and only in the Gospel of Luke, was very unknown to the world. Most of Jesus Christ's life is unknown to the world, even to those who say that they're Christians. But this event especially was very much in, not that it was being kept a secret, but it was in secret. Nobody cared. Herod was ruling as a usurper of the throne and doing whatever he did, getting some people killed and courting special people that had special interests and filling his pockets. And he was doing all those things. And Elizabeth was bearing in her womb John the Baptist after a long life of barrenness and sadness because of that barrenness. And God had removed her reproach. And so John was 6 months old in the womb. And he leapt in the womb when Jesus came in the room. It's a holy moment. I want to feel that moment completely. I don't want to have anything in the world in me. I don't want to have anything in the world in you. That's why I come to these feasts. That's why I prepare for these feasts. For a pastor, by the way, feasts are a very noisy thing. There's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of, Father, can you do this? Father, can you do that? And it's hard to focus my mind sometimes. That's why my favorite service is the midnight office, especially in a monastery. I mean, you got to be just different than the world to want to get up at 4 or 3 in the morning, or maybe stay up that night and then go to the midnight office and hear the quiet chanting and a little bit of singing and just feel holiness in the air. Something that you can reach out and not quite touch. It's there, but you can't quite bring it all to yourself. And this holiness of Elizabeth, when she recognized the mother of her Lord, and when John the Baptist recognized his Lord and leapt in the womb, and when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, that holiness, I don't understand. I want that holiness. I stand before the altar and I pray, and miraculous things happen. But I don't think I've ever had myself filled with the Holy Spirit as it's speaking of here. Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit. I dare say probably none of you have either. This is why I go to the feasts. This is why I pray the Paraclesis 14 days in a row. This is why we celebrate a Thursday morning liturgy with at least 2 people present. Because I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit completely. I don't want there to be anything left in me except the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for you. Nothing except the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read this gospel many times like I have in your lifetime and then in a concentrated way every day, it just starts to say things to you. Most of what we do in life is completely purposeless. We entertain ourselves with things that have no lasting beauty, no lasting value. We say things based upon our own egos and agendas that are not blessed of God. We pray very little. Perhaps some of us fast very little. Perhaps some of us don't value the services. And it's just as good to be at liturgy at 10:15 or 10:30 as it is at 10. I'll tell you the reason I always was to liturgy early, even before I was a priest. Because there was this powerful feeling inside me that there was holiness that was present before the liturgy began. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. I could feel it. And I knew that I couldn't bring it into me, not yet. I didn't have the competence to hold on to it. It's like rain coming down, but if you don't have a cistern, the rain washes away and you can't save it. Well, my cistern is small. And when I would come to liturgy early, before everything would start, even before the hours would begin, and there was quiet, and there was this feeling of expectation like, maybe something's going to change in my soul. Maybe something's going to be a little bit different after this. Maybe this darkness in my soul is going to become lighter. This feeling in my mind that's sort of foggy regarding holiness will become more clear. The sun will shine through it. That's why I came to liturgy early, before everything began, so that I could kind of have a mind ready for the service. And still to this day, of course, I have to come to a liturgy early now because it's my job to do it. But to this day, for liturgy or for the vigil, or really for almost any service, there's this feeling in my heart that I want to have the Holy Spirit fully in me, not partially. I don't want to have any partial knowledge, any partial holiness, any confusion, or any ignorance. I want to have the moment that Elizabeth had as a continuous moment. To know my Lord is present and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we should be striving for. That's why you should be coming to this feast. That's why you should be desiring to have communion on this feast. Not because it's, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Because, you know, you're supposed to have communion on Dormition. It's a big feast. The biggest feast of the Mother of God. Of course we have to have communion on Dormition. That's not why. It's because you should want this moment to be a lifetime moment. I think the reason why we venerate the Theotokos so much is because this moment of being filled with the Holy Spirit was her lifetime condition from the time of Gabriel announcing to her that she would bear our Lord. So she lived quietly with holiness and with intelligence, with the ability to see what is good and what is bad, to choose life and never death, unknown to the world, just a poor Jewish woman, ostensibly appearing to be the wife of a carpenter. That's why we venerate her so, because she was continually filled with the Holy Spirit, because she said yes to God. So this moment in history that is only preserved because Luke wrote about it tells us something of what we should aspire for. We should aspire for perfect holiness, to be always filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why we come to this feast. Now, in the case of the Mother of God, she was so filled with the Holy Spirit that her son could not bear to see her lie in the grave. And so he resurrected her and brought her out of the grave and brought her with him into the heavens. And that's what we celebrate today. And certainly her Dormition and her Ascension is a exception. It's a rare thing in humankind. But how she was filled with the Holy Spirit. How Elizabeth was filled. How John leapt in the womb. That shouldn't be rare. It should be in all of our hearts. That's what you should want. That's what you should strive for. That's why you should say your morning prayers. That's why you should read from the Psalter. That's why you should listen to me and read the Bible, especially the Gospels, every day. That's why you should come to the services and not just some percentage of divine liturgy. Because you should want that moment. It's more beautiful than any moment. That's more bright than a billion suns. That moment is what you should want in your life. Not to be a moment, but to be your condition. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not accidental that this occurrence is so obscure. Only written of in one place, and that is in the Bible. It's only written in one place. Of course, it's been written about many times. And been preached about many times. It's obscure because holiness is not the way of the world. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not the way of the world. It would never make it on a newscast. It would never make it on a bestseller list. The world doesn't care about holiness. And I think, actually, I'll say something that you might feel is maybe a little crude. Maybe you don't agree with me. I think most Christians don't care about holiness. But we shouldn't be like that. We need to force ourselves to care about holiness. We need to beg God that we would have this moment of being filled with the Holy Spirit when our Lord is in the room, as He is now. And that there would be nothing else in our life. No other care. That's why I prepare for these feasts. I hope that's why you're here. If it's not while you're here, then I hope that you take my words to heart. And you start buckling down a little bit more. You start reading the scriptures a little bit more. Fasting a little bit better. Struggling a little bit more with your sins. And desiring this moment of holiness. When the Holy Spirit touches you such that there is no other touch. So there's nothing else. There's no other worldly care. That's why we should come to these feasts. And that is my prayer, my poor prayer, as a pastor for you, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Through the prayers of the Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Save us. Amen.